Welcome to the Bentonville Beacon, where we bring you success stories from business leaders and owners about their triumphs and growth in the Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas community. You'll hear about how Bentonville has been the backdrop for incredible growth, not only for businesses and their employees, but in their personal lives as well. Tune in, subscribe, and enjoy hearing about Bentonville, where you get more of what you want and less of what you don't. Welcome back to the Bentonville Beacon Podcast, where we're sharing stories and advice from the entrepreneurs, business executives, and community leaders sparking the rise of the greater Bentonville area, which represents one of the fastest growing and most dynamic cities and economies in the United States and is nestled in the Ozark Mountains of Northwest Arkansas in the heartland of America. Hey, I'm your host, James Bell, and today I'm privileged to share the studio with two of my colleagues and co-conspirators, Janim Arcan and Quinn Robertson from Endeavor, a global organization with its Heartland office in Bentonville. Janim is Managing Director of Endeavor Heartland, and Quinn is Director of 412 Angels. Together, this dynamic duo is working to catalyze change and foster growth in the rapidly expanding entrepreneurial ecosystem of Bentonville, Northwest Arkansas, and the American Heartland. From igniting angel investing to nurturing scale stage companies, they're making a significant impact. So today, they'll share insights into the impactful work of 412 Angels and Endeavor Heartland. Quinn, Janim, welcome to the Bentonville Beacon Podcast.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
You bet. Well, let's just jump right in. Will each of you share what you'd like with the Bentonville Beacon audience about yourselves, including how you landed, Janim, how you landed here in Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas, and Quinn, what brought you back?
Good.
Thanks, Quinn. So Janim Arcan, and I moved to Northwest Arkansas in 2013 from New York City, where I was working in finance at Goldman Sachs. And I had met and married an Arkansan while I was at Goldman. And funnily, he was the only person from Arkansas that I'd ever met up until that point. And we got married, had a kid, and he said, you know what, let's move to Arkansas. And I said, you are crazy, crazy. Why would we ever leave New York and our friends and my parents and my sister and our jobs? But he knew long before I did what was amazing about this place, which is the community, the landscape, the feeling that anything is possible that exists here. So my friends, very incredulous, this lifetime New Yorker, basically, we moved to Arkansas in 2013, and it has been really incredible. The first sort of 6 years of having been here, I kept a job in New York, really afraid sort of to let go of that string of, you know, what do I do if this area doesn't work out, if we don't love it there? But I have grown to love it here. And then in 2019, we launched Endeavor, which we can get into. But really, it was a function of someone saying, hey, there's an amazing secret here. Come see it with me. And, you know, it sort of takes being here to believing in it. But secretly, don't want everyone else to find out. But I'm so glad he convinced me to move here.
Yeah. And I'm in this weird rediscovering this hidden treasure. I grew up in Northwest Arkansas. I'm a Tawny Town native. And so my family all grew up there. I went to the U of A, and then I went to Wichita, Kansas to work for about a decade. And it was a little bit in corporate venture capital work, some, you know, corporate tech related stuff at Koch Industries, which is a lot of fun and a great start to a career. My dad, actually, he's a longtime Walmart vet. And it was funny, I told him I would never go work for a big public company. And so working for a big private company is obviously very different, at least in the mind of a college grad at that point. But I spent 5 years at Koch Industries. I jumped out and joined a nonprofit that was focused on supporting entrepreneurship in Wichita. And so spent about 4 or 5 years there, building up an angel investor group there. And then I had a desire to get back home for me. It was, my family is still here, growing still. And so I, about 12 months ago now, decided to jump back to Northwest Arkansas to run the 412 Angels program. So I'm really excited to rediscover as sort of, an adult on what Northwest Arkansas is. And it's been great to see the community. Then everyone has this viewpoint that, you know, my hometown's kind of cool. And think, you know, mine was sort of right. I think I had a pretty cool hometown. So,
absolutely. Well, welcome back home, and I'm glad you're both here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Janim, will you talk about Endeavor's mission and its presence in Bentonville and the Heartland, and talk about what Endeavor Heartland's approach is to supporting scale stage entrepreneurs and investors.
That's an amazing six-part question, but I promise to be brief.
Anytime.
So Endeavor, a global 26-year-old organization, and it was founded on the belief that, you know, not surprisingly, there's some great organizations that do this, that entrepreneurship can thrive anywhere, given the right food and water, right? All the resources for it to grow, which is investment, it's mentorship, it's a belief that you can be it, it's inspiration. And so Endeavor has set out to be all those things for our founders. About, I guess now in 2019, I had been living here for a while, again, commuting back and forth from New York from a hedge fund I was working at. And, you know, it dawned on me that Endeavor, which had been a global organization, really in emerging markets, had started opening up offices in the US in emerging economies. And so I said to them, I said, you guys are crazy. You have to be in Arkansas. There is so much happening here. There's so much exciting entrepreneurship, you know, at its very nascent stages in Northwest Arkansas and Bentonville and Fayetteville and Rogers and Springdale. And, you know, part of it is Endeavor covers countries. So Endeavor Brazil covers Brazil. And so they, you know, Endeavor Turkey covers Turkey. And, you know, the question was, is there enough happening? And they came and saw quickly what I did, which was yes. And we are early stages. There is so much that's going to happen in this area in the next 50 years. And I'm so glad to be even a tiny part of it. Endeavor's role, again, to be these things, both, you know, peer-to-peer connection of people who have big dreams, who want to grow their businesses 10, 20, 30, 50x. Peer-to-peer connections are really, you know, we've talked about this, it's lonely being an entrepreneur, but not only can we connect you to one down the street from you, but we can connect you to one three oceans away from you. And we have a fund that can help invest in you if you become an Endeavor entrepreneur. And we have programming that can help you think about that. I recently attended a program at the Stanford Exec Ed division, and it was really life-changing thinking about how founders communicate and how to communicate with your team and your clients. So we offer all these things, and these are all available for Arkansas founders. And really, you know, Endeavor now operates regionally, so we're doing work in Oklahoma and Kansas City, but that's the belief in that, you know, there are a lot of organizations that help you think about starting a business, but very few that help you think about scaling a business. And the pain points that you have at that stage are so different. How do we create an organization where you can find your peers, but not just your peers, but actual content, education, funding, all those things, investor introductions. And so that's what Endeavor aims to be. And, you know, we are very lucky to partner with 25 other offices. So if we don't have a mentor or a source of capital for you, we can call our colleagues all around the world, which has been really exciting.
That's really neat. I mean, that is a true differentiator that you have. You can reach all around the world and connect folks. That's exciting.
Yeah, we're really, you know, and we say, you know, our office has five individuals and, you know, we are, well, six now that Quinn's joined with, with the 412 program. But we're not six deep, we're 500 deep. And so if I don't have an answer to you, hopefully somebody I know will. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Excellent. Well, Quinn, let's talk about 412 Angels. Yeah. What is it and what are you looking to achieve across the region?
Yeah, so the 412 Angels program was launched about 2 years ago as a partnership between Northwest Arkansas and Tulsa. The objective was, how do we get more angel investors to invest in early stage companies, educate them, activate them, and get them on their way to help building a foundation of entrepreneurship in Northwest Arkansas and the tech community here. And the hardest capital to get for early stage entrepreneurs is sort of that early capital that before venture capitalists will talk to you or you're ready for Endeavor as an example. And so the objective was, how do we get that started up again? And so 2 years go by. We ended up just in January of this past year, kind of going, getting absorbed underneath Endeavor. There was a really interesting partnership that I think existed there, which was Endeavor's very focused on helping entrepreneurs scale. And they've got an amazing engine that exists of network and resources, et cetera. And the thought was, well, maybe we can utilize the companies that we might be investing in, maybe even at an earlier stage, and get some of those resources available to them at the earlier stages. And so there's this interesting little like yin and yang or partnership that's going on there. And so what we're really trying to do is to get more people educated about the angel investing asset class, that this is an interesting area that you could add into your portfolio if you've got the means to do so. View it not only as a means to put some financial capital behind some entrepreneurs, but use that as a gateway to start to really roll your sleeves up and support entrepreneurs as well. So even though you may write a check into them, can I introduce them to customers? Can I go and introduce them to prospective talent or other ways that you might be able to support and mentor and advise them? And you can hear an interesting little thread that sounds a lot like what Endeavor already does. And so there's a really interesting partnership that we're going through here. And objective is to continue to build this great growing momentum that we have, that we've started over the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, that's neat. What I love here is that you're creating your own pipeline.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
I was going to say that.
And solving a problem in doing so.
Absolutely.
We have some incredible business leaders in this community, both at the, you know, the brands and all of our big companies, all of our private companies. And most people, I think, understand the stock market to a certain extent, right? Or are veteran enough in their financials that they hire out these sort of people to manage their money. But this is a really interesting way to be active in your investment, have it be small but meaningful enough where you can actually make a difference, and is helping our local community as opposed to a Fortune 500 company that's listed somewhere on one of our exchanges. So it's this incredible way to make money, hopefully, in a risky way, but also have a huge impact on not just this state or region, but this whole geography, this heartland area.
Yeah, that's neat. I mean, it is a whole other asset class that the vast majority of people overlook, or maybe the majority of people don't know
exists.
Yeah. Very true.
That they're missing out on where they can make a true impact and perhaps make a lot of money. Quinn, what's the investment thesis then at 412 Angels? Think of it as, what's an ideal startup look like for the network, and what's that ideal investment look like then for an investor?
Yeah. So I'll give a little bit of an asterisk on the answer that I'm going to give, okay, and that we're still sort of figuring this out. This angel group is only a few years old, and there are some that have been around for a decade or two. And so we're sort of figuring out what the investor base is really interested in. But at least right now, the thesis that we've crafted and we're going to try to put in front of the group is companies that are a little bit, have a little bit of revenue, but not a lot of revenue. And I view that as like $50,000, $100,000 on an annual basis, all the way up to maybe $1 million or $2 million in revenue. So kind of at that more than your mom and your dog and your hamster has bought the product, right? But not to the point to where you've really scaled this thing out just yet. So very early revenue traction. We're looking at verticals that really are impactful to Northwest Arkansas and Tulsa and kind of this 412 corridor. And so you could think of that as, energy tech. If you're really looking at Tulsa, you're looking at supply chain, retail, fintech, other areas like that, that make sense for Northwest Arkansas as well. And so companies that are building interesting technology companies in that stage of development, starting to get some early revenue growth, and where we have the assets, the infrastructure, the knowledge, the talent here in these two regions to really make a meaningful and outsized impact on perhaps their level of success. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've got not only a customer base here, but a vendor base here and a talent base. And maybe there's some capital expenditures that might exist as a part of that as well. And so there's, we want to look at companies where it makes sense for why a group that's based in Northwest Arkansas and Tulsa would be looking at them and investing in them, where we can make that really outsized impact.
Right. And you've got so much expertise in those areas here. I mean, I feel like you're taking a lot of risk off the table for the investors themselves, for the angels themselves. Just by them, many of them are going to be in those markets. And one of the neat things I think you have going on here too is that we have, I'll call it an expanding marketplace of verticals too, because what's happening here in healthcare is going to shock the world, I believe. That's my industry that I come from.
Yeah.
But also what's happening already in Tulsa and across Northwest Arkansas in the space of advanced mobility is going to be big too. And perhaps there's going to be some opportunities there at an earlier stage soon.
Yeah. And I think, I would love to see in 5 and 10 years, the work that we're doing in this area, companies that we're, even if we don't invest in them, and if we do, that's great. But even if we don't invest in them, how can we extract all of that exists in Tulsa and in Northwest Arkansas to grow these local economies here? And I would love to see companies we're working with today being the monoliths and the big economic development drivers a decade from now. And we get to sort of see and be on that path. That's super exciting to me. And I'm hopeful that we get a chance to do so.
Well, that is exciting. And we're in a place here where that's people can see that, right? I don't think in a lot of places people can imagine how a company starts and what it grows up to be. But then we're sitting in the place where Fortune 1 evolved. And down the road, another Fortune 500 and yet another Fortune 500 next door, just in this tight little, you know, 15 minute space and so much more around it. Let's go back to Janem. We mentioned the angel investing a moment ago in terms of the importance of it. Could you talk more about why you think it is that it's an overlooked asset class and why more investors should consider it? Maybe go deeper there, especially not even, so we have a great many of folks who are doing it as individuals here locally, but why should they think about doing it in a network as well?
Those are, again, very good questions. I think it starts with a little bit of, it feels too risky. And I think my thought too there is, it can be risky, but you can start it in a much more bite-sized manner. I think people think angel investing is, look, I got to put $500,000 in or $1 million or, you know, some chunk of my wealth where I wouldn't feel comfortable losing it. And my answer to that is, what's beautiful about 412 Angels and what's been built and the pilot program that's been run is you can start as low as $5,000. So I think we try to take that hurdle off the table in terms of people being scared about the risk, because let's not sugarcoat it. You know, angel investing, early stage investing, really in any stage is risky. Mm-hmm. And you are more likely to lose your money or get your money back at a flat level than you are as in terms of the number of deals that you're doing than you are to 5X or 10X, right? But hopefully as a percentage of return, the 5X and 10X is more than making up for that. So that's one thing. I think the other thing is people don't know how to do it. There's just this nebulous world of documents that travel and people don't understand mm-hmm. you have to set up these things. I think we've really cleared that up too. There's a very simple way through AngelList that Quinn has set up where people can just really streamline and then make their investments without having to get lawyers involved or term sheets involved. And where we do a lot of that upfront work for you. And so I think that's step two. But step three, really, I think generally is just awareness. What I like to tell people when they're thinking about angel investing is, in the beginning, invest in what you know. So if you're somebody who really understands supply chain and distribution, don't make your first investment in medical devices,
right?
Maybe that's not the right fit for you. Maybe eventually down the line, as you get comfortable taking on that risk and figuring out which questions to ask, and hopefully we're helping you educate you and get you down those steps of thinking. But in the beginning, invest in what you know. And more importantly, build a portfolio. So don't just make one investment and wait 7 years and figure out you didn't get your money back, right? That's not a great way to do it. Make multiple investments, hopefully through us, but really through anybody. We have several angel networks within the 4 or 5 states that we live in. We have some really great VCs in the area. Invest. Those are going to take bigger checks, by the way.
Of course.
Can't start with your 5K there. But really, you know, take a risk, invest in what you know and build a small portfolio and start there. And I think people don't realize that those things can happen. It can be simple. It can be small bite-sized checks, and it can be in areas that you understand. And so, you know, hopefully we're solving that problem for a lot of people. But your biggest question was, how are we making an impact? But, I think that there's no other way to answer that than to say, you know, look at an Acre Trader, which really started off with a few angel checks and what it's become and the impact it's already had. Not just in Northwest Arkansas, not just in Fayetteville, but really to farmers all over the United States and investors all over the United States. And quite frankly, the data around farmland all over the United States. So I think it's very possible it's happening as we speak. And hopefully we're just, you know, breaking down those barriers for people. And I have a call to action to our women listeners. We have not enough women angel investors. And so, you know, reach out to us, reach out to Quinn, ask the question, let's get you involved.
Excellent. You know, that I'm going to bring up this issue then, since you brought that up, is that there's underinvestment in women too, right? And they create, well, here's the part that I don't get, is they create amazing companies, and the data demonstrates that that these companies that have been founded by women actually outperform companies led by men.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough greedy investors have figured that out yet. But if you have more women at the table investing, then you're more likely to have more investments in women-led companies. So, yeah, there's your call to action. Get in the game.
Yeah.
Janem, you came to Northwest Arkansas, you said 2013. You came back, Quinn, and
Last year. Yeah.
I came here at the end of 2020. In that short time, I've seen a ton of change. I'd love to hear y'all's perspectives on how, in particular, the startup and capital scene here has changed. Janem, in the time you've been here, when from the time you left and came back?
Before I answer that, I just want to say, James, I totally remember you moving here. In fact, I think I was one of the ambassadors that you first spoke with around this whole region. So
thank you. Wow. You helped to get me here.
I said, it's great. You won't regret it.
You did.
Yeah. But when I first moved here, Crystal Bridges in 2013 had just opened. And I bring up that you'd asked about entrepreneurship and founders, but you know, without that, making this a place to live and start and grow your business wouldn't be possible. So what Alice Walton's done, not just in healthcare, but in the arts here, and Tom and Stuart and Olivia Walton have done, you know, in the bike scene, the bike paths, the competitions, all the apparel that comes with it, all the investments that they've made around that. All that is so important in setting the culture around investing in startups and entrepreneurship. Like, it's possible, it's growing. I think Crystal Bridges is doubling in size, which is incredible. I cannot wait for that to open. But you know, the change here has been at a rate that's so fast that it's, you know, it's one of those things that's like visible to the naked eye because it's happening so quickly. Yes. You can actually see the number of people moving here every day because it's changing in your backyard and, you know, down the street and on the highways and the car traffic. And that brings a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, the real way I've thought about it is people no longer say, Bentonville, Northwest Arkansas, you're crazy. They say, yeah, that looks really interesting. And I can tell that from both recruiting, both as founders who are thinking about moving here, both as working with some of our fellow programmers around, you know, with Startup Junkie or Plug and Play, like the work that they're doing through Fuel, those founders, when they talk to me, they, you know, they see value in being here. And that wasn't true 10 years ago. And they would come for the program and leave. And I don't think that's true anymore. So maybe that's a big, red flag is the wrong word. Green flag.
Yeah. I mean, look, just to add to that, I mean, the evidence you mentioned, Fuel, and I'm begging them, if you're listening, Startup Junkie and Fuel, I still need this paper. I want them to write a paper on that. I want them to do a case study on it. In the last 3 years, just in their AI and ML accelerator, of course, they're running three accelerators in three verticals now, but just in that accelerator, we did a quick count. There are about 18 companies that have either relocated the company or opened an office or hired here.
That's amazing.
Came through that program in just the last 3 years.
Yeah. And I think that those kinds of programs were going on 10 years ago, but those things weren't necessarily true, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a forward momentum that is, it's sort of accelerating as it goes forward, right? And that's, it's super impressive to see.
It is. You owe us an answer, Quinn.
Yeah. So part of, I'll give a couple of different examples. Growing up here, it felt like there was this 80-20 where it was 80% locals and 20% folks that are sort of brought in for various different reasons. And then I moved away for a decade and then I came back. And there's almost the inverse of that now, right? You've got these amazing industries and companies that are bringing in people from all across the country. And so I see that, and it's you know, it's now 80%, you know, transplants almost and 20% locals. And to me, that is a great talent bed for new individuals that are coming in. Maybe they're working at a very large company and they're seeing, I've got a really interesting set of resources around me and this interesting little recipe where I could go start a company. And so I've only been back for 12 months now, and I've started to see capital sources really start to plug into that mindset. Even 12 months ago, there were a few different partners that we had in Oklahoma City and Tulsa and other areas. And now 12 months later, they're actually looking to hire people on their analyst team for their investment firms or something like that. And they're putting presences in Northwest Arkansas because they see the foundation that's starting. And there are, you know, firms that are outside of Northwest Arkansas launching VC funds or moving their VC funds into Northwest Arkansas. And I got to tell you, that doesn't happen everywhere. That's a really interesting data point. And for me, what's most exciting is I think that is continuing to build the foundational layer that we're going to start to see the impact of that not just next year, but 5 years, a decade down the road, 2 decades down the road. And so to me, there's a really interesting little snowball getting started on that side. So that's at least how I've seen it impact sort of the capital landscape here.
I agree. And I think it's really unexpected that to folks from not here that they would come. I think that we hoped they would and expected they would. But, you know, if you went back just a few years ago before money started moving away from the coast, not moving away, but planting offices in the middle of the country, they typically were going to places like Chicago, maybe Dallas. They certainly weren't thinking about Bentonville, Arkansas. Now everybody's discovered it. And it's astounding the amount of VCs that have planted or person or an office here in just the last 12 months.
Yeah. And it's not, there's certainly some level of organic component to that, but there's also, you know, certain people, as an example, there's the Startup NWA program that's a part of the Northwest Arkansas Council. And they've got a few folks that are fully dedicated on how do I continue to build these capital bridges from Northwest Arkansas to other parts of the country and vice versa. And so they're bringing in venture capitalists to, even for just a day or two to see Northwest Arkansas. And you're seeing folks that are coming back now on a quarterly basis because they see all of the great momentum that's happening. And that's just, those are just small examples of, I think, of a larger picture that are going on here.
Absolutely. Well, I want to get each of you or one of you, whichever you want to choose, to tell me a story. This is going to be a hashtag Because Bentonville story. It's something that happened where you look back at it and you go, I think maybe that could only happen in Bentonville, or describes the essence of this place.
I think you had a good one, Quinn. You should tell your story.
I do have a good one because it's also very recent as well.
Okay.
So I was talking to an entrepreneur. They're based in Boston. They've got this really interesting marketing tech company. And we were on a Zoom call maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I mentioned, well, yeah, Walmart. And, you know, his ears perked up a little bit. And he said, what? I sell to brands and I sell to retail, you know, establishments. And he's like, Walmart's close to you. Like, what's going on there? And I said, I'm in Bentonville, Arkansas. There's a really nice hub that may or may not exist exactly where I'm at of a Fortune 1 retailer. And so he said, that's really interesting and compelling. And I said, okay, let me you know, blow your mind a little bit more. Not only is there a Fortune 1 retailer that exists here, there's, I think the last count is around 1,600 vendors and brands that are here servicing this retailer here. And so you've got 1,600 prospective customers of yours that are within about a 10-mile radius of where I'm at right now. He said, if you can give me 2 introductions to them, I'll fly out next week. And so actually later this month, we're going to have him fly into Northwest Arkansas and we're going to get some stuff lined up for him. So just anywhere else, someone hopping on a plane and you know, having a customer base for him that could be so impactful for his business, nowhere else could that have happened, I think. So that was a really interesting story just in the last 30 days.
And again, well, the story in itself says it's very unexpected, right? Just this morning, I was driving back up here from Johnson and Springdale and thinking about, you know, our skyline along I-49, and you see Kellogg's and Coca-Cola. And if you know it, there's a J&J office around the corner, and there's just one after another. And I like to drive around Bentonville and play also what I like to call vendor bingo and find their offices. I mean, I think I'm going to start a vendor bingo card game.
That's a good idea.
It's a lot of fun when you discover a new one that you didn't know where the office was. You know, one of the things I love about our area is there are a ton of partners in the ecosystem to support entrepreneurs and startups and other businesses that are already here. Can you talk about some of the ways that you partner with some of these other organizations?
You know, it's funny you say that because today we had our monthly, and I sort of hate the term, but ESO call, Entrepreneurial Support Organization.
Sure.
And there were 70 people on that call. It's run by the Office of Entrepreneurship and Innovation, an incredible group of people led, you know, with so much growth by Sarah Goforth and now taken over by Phil Shellhammer.
Mm-hmm.
He has big shoes to fill up and I know he's going to do it. And so I thought about that call today because 70 people came on and something like 30 organizations talked about events they have in April for founders. Everything from helping women in rural areas in Arkansas get funding for their businesses all the way to large expos being done by organizations like Plug and Play. And not only were we all there sending out each other's events, talking about things that we could do to help each other. But we collaborate on events. I know Quinn's speaking at an event that's called, you know, VCNWA recently, really around 412 Angels too. I'm a judge for OEI's Heartland Challenge, which is happening next Friday. But, you know, it's one of those things where we not only collaborate as organizations, but as individuals and give each other our time, our mentorship. And so I thought about that and I said, I don't know a single, and we have 8 US Endeavor offices. So I hear a lot about their ecosystems and their communities. And we talk a lot about the challenges we face because even though we're not competitive, we have, you know, there are only a finite number of resources. So as we think about funding, as we think about the time of our mentors, there is some overlap in terms of what we do with fellow organizations, but nobody collaborates the way we do, at least of these 8, you know, growing ecosystem hubs that I work with across Endeavor. So for what that's worth, we're doing something right. That also has a lot of challenges, maybe if we had more time. But I do think that we're doing something really incredible with that. And I don't know any other place that's doing it like we do.
Yeah, I don't either. I've had the opportunity to work all around the country in the few years before I came here, was running a consulting firm that's supporting medical device startups and investors and entrepreneur support organizations. Helped stand up some new organizations in Memphis and ran accelerators and stuff like that there. But I haven't discovered this anywhere. And I've spent a fair amount of time around markets like Memphis and Nashville and Miami and Dallas. And I haven't seen this anywhere else, anywhere
and
in
I
the country.
I will make a plug, 36 Degrees North, which is an awesome co-working space in Tulsa. I had told them about this monthly call format and they've instated it and are doing the same sort of presentation style that from each of their ecosystem players. So I think not only are we inventing the wheel, we're helping spread the wheel.
Absolutely. Well, hey, as we start wrapping up and say the final chapter of this episode, let me ask before I forget, if somebody wants to learn more about 412 Angels and Endeavor or reach one of you, how do they do that?
Well, first, I am on LinkedIn. That's the best way to get me. Message me on LinkedIn. Go to us.endeavor.org and you can see our website there. We're building out a 412 Angels website. So you'll be able to get
launched.
That. Yes.
Awesome.
And you're welcome to email me at, it's spelled Canem, canem.arkn@endeavor.org.
Yeah, and with 412, LinkedIn primarily for me. I try to post pretty frequently, so maybe I'm bouncing around your second and third level connections. But yeah, Quinn Robertson on LinkedIn, and then quinn.robertson@endeavor.org via email as well.
Awesome.
We're also on Instagram, so check us out there, and our podcast. So listen
yes,
to that.
Well, let's talk about that podcast real quick. The multiplier effect. You know, I had the honor of jumping on there with you. I guess it's been a couple of years ago now. I believe you have dropped more than 100 episodes now.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
What is the multiplier effect? How can people find it?
It's really, when we thought about it, we thought the world doesn't need another podcast. But then we decided to do it anyway. And what we're trying to do each season is answer a thematic question. So one season was on, you know, raising capital through a pandemic. You can guess what years we did that one, really through a crisis. One season, the one you were on was, how do you find local players in your ecosystem that can help you build things? So you represented us with the chamber, but really we were trying to find out all the different players in the ecosystem, you know, from the Northwest Arkansas Council to all those ESOs that we just talked about, all the way to, you know, government organizations. How do you as a founder find the right resource in your local community? It was just about Northwest Arkansas rather than nationally or even regionally. But we thought it was a great way for people to say, oh, these sort of state, national, local, private, you know, nonprofit organizations could exist in my space too. This season is really about angel investing. And Quinn said it so well, but it's such an important, and you did too, top of the funnel for us. So not only is thematically angel investing important for all those next generation scale-up founders we support at Endeavor, but really to build this base of angel investing that's happening here. So Quinn's been interviewing folks. Quinn, why don't you give a little update about it? I think you've recorded your last episode already, right?
Yeah, it was just last week. I am a new podcast host. So
did you just deepen your voice?
I'm trying right, a little bit right now. And I'll take some tips from you, James, afterwards. That'll be really helpful. But yeah, we talked to a bunch of different folks about, you know, new angel investors and how they got up the learning curve really quickly, and seasoned angel investors, what have you learned over the last 20 years? And we had a gentleman in from Tulsa who he's run an angel investor group and also leads a VC fund. And how, if someone's thinking about how they want to get involved in this asset class, should I be an angel investor or be a limited partner in a VC fund? And what should I think about all of those things? And so I think 6 episodes, we dropped those in March and then over the course of April as well. And yeah, it's been a really interesting way of getting into the podcast world for me. And I think, honestly, a lot of great nuggets that we were able to pull out from a lot of the guests. I will say it was 99% the words coming out of their mouth is what the listeners are going to get a chance to get some value out of. And maybe I added 1% to the side.
Excellent. Well, that's the way it should be. I hope 100% comes from y'all when people are listening. I'm sure it is. The 412 Angels. So hopefully you're getting some folks off the fence through those episodes and the multiplier effect. But what's your pitch to get anybody who's out there on the fence right now? They're like, ah, gosh, I still don't know. After listening to all of this episode, you still don't know. Quinn's going to give you the pitch that's going to bring you off the fence and into 412 Angels.
Yeah, the primary thing I try to tell the folks is this could be the most impactful and fun part of your investment portfolio. And when I tell folks that are starting to get into this, you know, if you are going to buy 2 more shares of, you know, insert some publicly traded company, you're probably not going to go, you know, have a beer afterwards or a cider or a tea or whatever you may be drinking these days. But if you invest in a startup company and, you know, maybe they get their next big customer signed or their next big investment round, you might go have a beer or, you know, have a nice little celebration for something like that. And so, thinking about it as a really fun part of the portfolio, and then also the back to the community impact, you get a chance to invest in the future of your community. They're going to be building not only the companies that are going to employ people around you for the next hopefully 5 to 20 years or so, they're also going to be with the products and services impacting the local community around you. And whether that's in Tulsa or Northwest Arkansas or Kansas City or wherever that may be, you get a chance to be a small part of that moving forward. And to me, there's just a really fulfilling component of that. So those are the primary 2 little nuggets that I try to tell folks is if you're thinking about getting involved, there is some monetary components that, you know, people sort of get really interested in. It's a lot of the non-monetary reasons why people stay involved, I think.
Perfect. Okay. As we wrap up, I've got a couple of questions for you that are a little more fun. What's Janem, let's start with you. What's the most unexpected thing that every founder should have in their toolkit?
I was thinking about this question before. When you say thing, I mean, I think there's so many ways we can take this.
That's right.
I think that most unexpected thing they should have in their toolkit is somebody to help them take their mind off anything that they're doing, right?
Amen. Like,
you know, it could be a yoga instructor. It can be just a buddy who's in a totally different, you know, industry, field, business that just wants to share their day. Like, I was just talking about this with a friend, but sometimes it's great to have people who will take you out of your head and into their world. And then you realize, oh, okay, my world's not so bad either. And I think it's having somebody who's unrelated to anything you're doing as a sounding board. Because sometimes those are the nuggets that come that affect your life in really meaningful ways. And that's a little bit of a plug for Endeavor, maybe, but more for a plug for like, make your world broad.
Amen. Boy, I sure could have used that as a founder. Quinn, actually, you have the more fun question.
Mm. Oh, boy.
You know, there's a new 1,000-acre, $2 billion theme park called American Heartland, I think, being built near the Oklahoma-Arkansas border on the Oklahoma side. If 412 Angels were a theme park, what would the main attraction be?
The way that I would think about that, and I spent a little bit of time through this, I actually even have a name for the primary ride. It's Life of an Angel. And it is a roller coaster where you start off above ground and then you go down underground, completely pitch black, and you are going up and down and twisting and turning and corkscrews, and you have no idea what's coming in front of you. And to me, it's exhilarating. It's so much fun to be a part of. But the life of an angel investor is it's ups and downs and lefts and rights, and you don't know what the future is going to hold with it. But man, it's a lot of fun to be a part of on that. So that's what I think the primary attraction would be at this park.
And some of those passengers can't get out. They get stuck for a while. The ride stops moving. They get stuck. And then there's a crash or a burn. But the rest of them have the best ride ever.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think, you know, I love the idea of investing as a roller coaster because it's really what it is. It's just, it's not 1.5 minutes. It's 10 years.
Yeah, it's a journey.
So, yeah, you got to just be ready for that.
Well, you're riding the same journey as the founder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
I was listening to all that and this could easily be life of a founder. Maybe each car should have two seats and an angel and a founder have to sit next to each other on that roller coaster.
That's true. We'll ride alongside with them. That's for sure.
And like the angel gets that steering wheel that doesn't do anything, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Because you can't actually drive the car.
I love that.
Can give advice. It's like that Simpsons where Maggie's holding the steering wheel. Yeah. So there
perfect.
You go.
Let's build the theme park.
Yeah.
Okay. I do have one more question. I think 3 questions ago, I may have said, I've got 2 more. what's something I should have asked you that I did not ask?
I don't know. You're pretty good at this, James.
Oh, well, thank you.
I know. How many of these have you done?
We're about 115 in so far.
See. There you go.
So
that's
much pretty, fun.
That's a lot of experience. I think the one thing to ask is to say, like, you know, we never talk about the challenges, but I want to be clear. We have a lot of challenges,
yes.
Not just as a region, but as a community of investors, as a community of founders. And I don't want to gloss over that. And there are a lot of things we're doing wrong, right? We have to get better as an ecosystem about elevating founders that don't typically have access to capital.
Yes.
We have to get better as an ecosystem around, you know, I know this is going to sound weird, but just being okay failing. Like we have to be okay taking risks to investing and with founders that fail and normalizing that so they can get up and do it again. Because actually Endeavor's done a lot of research around this, but the most successful founders are serial founders. So whether you failed or sold and started your next endeavor, it's no pun intended, it's actually, you're much more likely to succeed with that. And so I think that it's important to highlight, we have a lot of challenges. I'm aware of them. I think most of us are, and it's okay to fail.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know what number, if y'all have pinned a number on it. I did read, it's been a while. I feel like it's been 10 years since I've read this number. But I did read a number once that said it's 2.7 times to success.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the successful entrepreneur, which means it's higher, right? Because so many quit after one or two. But 2.7 times is a lot of work. And so folks do need to go through that process of failure sometimes, mm-hmm. hopefully not all the time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they learn from it. And if they do, there can be some great opportunities out there.
Yeah.
Hey, Quinn and Janem, thank you for your insights today and for the work that you're doing in this ecosystem and across the American heartland. And Janem, especially, thank you for helping me make my way to Northwest Arkansas. You know, your dedication to innovation and to fostering growth in this area really exemplifies the spirit of our community and the progress of our region. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us, for sure.
And to our audience, thank you for joining this conversation. The Bentonville Beacon is brought to you by the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce, where I serve as Vice President for Economic Development. And these stories we share here aim to inspire and inform, highlighting the remarkable individuals and the initiatives scaling the Greater Bentonville area. Share this episode with those who dream big and strive for impact in their communities. And whether you're watching on BentonvilleBeacon.com or YouTube or listening through your favorite podcast platform, make certain to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. So until our next episode, let's keep celebrating and supporting the endeavors that make our community a beacon of opportunity and growth. Goodbye for now. We'll see you next time on the Bentonville Beacon.